on, Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 149 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, December 18th. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about losses, wins, everything.
Points.
What's your point?
Injuries, comebacks, Twitter. We talk about the sun, the moon, and stars. In the studio with me, as always, is Mr. Kenny.
Hey,
we're the monkeys.
And Jive.
Hey, happy Flake Appreciation Day to all our unique listeners.
I think that's the first time we actually read script on our intro.
Usually it's an ad-lib. Maybe we should stick with the ad-lib.
We'll just keep that section blank from now on.
They are all unique snowflakes.
Except for the one part that is normally scripted, and I didn't have anything there, and I ad-libbed.
How does that work?
It's magic.
My kids tell me that this would be opposites day.
Oh.
Is it?
Yes, everything's opposite. No, it's not.
It isn't? Oh.
Or is it?
Oh. Well, I'm drinking beer, so it's not completely opposite.
Not completely.
This is true.
Yeah.
Or is it false?
I don't know. My mind, I just don't know where to go with this.
Well, let's get some...
If I had a filter on the video board right now, I'd turn it invert. And so it would be like, you know... Everything would be
crazy looking.
So like I would be on the Aaron and Kenny would be the Jive and you'd be the Kenny?
No, because I'd still be the Kenny. I'd be the Yannick.
But we'd be inverted. Be
oh,
so we'd all be the Yannick.
We'd all be wearing white t-shirts as well.
Yeah,
right. Ooh. Backwards, like crisscross.
So, like crisscross?
Yeah.
So would that mean that
but we'll
or
sit,
cross Chris?
Cross Chris and we'll sit.
Yes, I totally face palm that.
Oh, God.
Wow. I was going to go with, so that would make Jive the token white guy here, but.
I kind of am.
You can leave it hanging there.
I don't know.
All right, I think it's time to talk hockey here.
Oh, what a wild week. We had some up, and then a little bit of down.
Not a little bit of jump.
Not a little bit of jump, just
sit.
Sit. So the Wild, if we go back to right after our last podcast, they met up against Calgary.
Oh, boy, that game.
Calgary.
Yeah, Calgary.
That seems like forever ago.
It does, but...
It does seem like forever ago that I wanted to punch some people and throw beers on them.
I think this is where we insert the Kenny and Aaron rant.
Oh, yeah. You got to just sit by and listen to this,
This is the unplanned rant.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, that's... Oh, wait, it's not in there. Yep.
So, yeah.
Because if it was unplanned, it would have been written in here.
So this
is the planned rant.
I got to say, game-wise, great game.
Yeah, it was.
Wild win, so it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
However, Kenny and I...
I got some free tickets from a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Who it was his birthday present from his wife, and he ended up having to leave on a business trip, so he couldn't make it. So I was like, Aaron, you want to go to a game?
I was like, yes. So let me check my... Yes.
And... You know, I got to talk to this guy and see how good of a friend he really is if he knew exactly what was happening this game. Because my lord, were we sitting next to some chatty Cathys up there that would not shut up. I think the first time they shut up was middle of the third period after I finally said something, and then dude in front of them finally said something.
So Kenny, brought up the subject with all the class that, you know, four beer Kenny might bring up.
Right. Like a couple of buka.
And a couple of buka in there.
It's
you know, not
unheard of from him.
They weren't 12 or 8, and they weren't Sharks fans, so I didn't make them cry.
Thank goodness.
Did they listen to Kenny? Not particularly. Mm-hmm. A father who was there with his daughter right in front of them about 2 minutes after Kenny blew up on them stood up and basically yelled at them for a good minute and a half.
He waited till break, though.
He did wait till break. He's a true fan.
Yes, he is.
And so these guys, they're from a solar company that's local, and all they could do is yap back and forth about solar, including a chant mid-game, "Let's go solar!" Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was the kind of stuff we were dealing with.
I think there was one time, it was the second intermission, where Aaron and I were walking back, we grabbed beers, and I had to go take a leak. And I'm in the bathroom, and I hear these guys in the hallway.
I'm sitting there out eating my poutine. How Canadian is that, right? Eating my poutine.
We're playing Calgary.
Stupid Calgary. Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
And they go roll by, and it's like, ah, oh, Jesus. And then Kenny rolls out, and I'm like, they just rolled by, didn't they? I was like, yep.
I heard them in the bathroom.
That's funny, too, because, I mean, I didn't...
No, it's not funny.
Well, no, last I checked, there's a roof on the XL. It's not retractable, so there's probably not a lot of solar energy going on in there.
No.
Right?
No.
No.
And their one answer was, hey, we're just blowing off steam. Well, you can go to a bar and be drunk assholes. Yes, sir. You know?
I think I did mention that they were talking more than church ladies at a pancake breakfast at one point.
Church ladies?
It was to the point where even the usher was coming down and talking to them about shutting the hell up. Of course, then now after several people have blown up at him and the usher has, you know, given them a mild talking to, now they're aggressively into the game.
Oh, but wrongly.
Yes, wrongly. Like, hit him, like on a shootout, you know.
Oh,
you know, the
best part time. was come overtime, like, they need help in overtime. It's like, dude, they've won the last four games in overtime.
It was a game souring experience.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
Because also, as Kenny mentioned, they had won
four
of them in overtime already, and they made their fifth straight OT win with that game. I came down to the shootout.
You did.
That was after. So Dubnyk started the game.
Yep.
But then he had to be replaced. I think it was start of the second.
Yeah. He basically didn't come out.
Yeah. And it's really. I think we got our update on Twitter. You know, we're like, what happened
to Dubnyk? Because he still played.
He
finished
the period, so it was like, what's going on here? You know.
So, yeah, but Stalock still came in and held strong in there, and then the Wild were able to come away with the shootout victory. I can't remember who got the shootout goal in that one. Was that Stewart's?
Stewart had one, and Granny had one.
And Granny.
Right?
I think so. Actually, I got the game right here. It was...
Or did Granny have a normal goal? He may have had a normal goal.
I don't know. I'm looking at the NHL site, and it's but, so we had Coyle got a save, Johnny Hockey got a goal, Stewart got a goal. We have a bunch of misses, and then Granny finally got the game winner, and then Stalock got the final save, since the Wild shot first. So,
but also notable is that so Dubnyk goes down, and who suits up as Stalock's backup?
Right.
Is Beaupre's kid.
Yes.
Right.
So,
he suits up. But from what I understand, they keep him in the back hallway. He can't even come and sit out on the...
Or the press box, right? Or is he suited up in the hallway?
Yeah, I think he had to be suited up then at that point.
And well, because he's an emergency goalie at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like what was it, the Chicago game where all the Wild started getting hurt, that first Chicago game where the I think Stalock was saying that because the benches are so short that the backup goalie ends up staying in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And that's when he started seeing the players come trailing in. I mean, that was from earlier this year.
Right.
But it wasn't a case like that where there was no room for him on the bench. It was, yeah. I think it's a technicality, a rule that he can't.
Basically. But then again, it's like, what team is going to like go, well, he's not doing very well, let's bring in this schlub off the streets?
Well,
because no offense to Beaupre. You know,
hey,
he's coaching high school, I think, right now.
He plays beer league hockey. Why not? Yeah.
it is the dream, but they're not going to pull. I mean, Stalock would have to get injured.
But if Stalock gets injured, I mean,
you can take one off the coconut.
Next man up, right?
Yeah.
And so, that's, I guess, you know, the NHL's basically rule, though, is that they've got somebody sitting on standby at, you know, every game. So I wonder if he gets free tickets to every game for that. That's not a bad.
But I seem to remember reading that he normally stays in the press box until he's summoned.
Yeah.
You know, which that isn't a bad deal.
That's not a
For, you know, you get summoned and you can't watch the rest of the game. You're stuck in a hallway.
But actually, when you think about it, though, it kind of sucks for him or for other Minnesota Beer League goalies. Because they're not going to have that chance.
No.
But go to somewhere like, if you're a beer league goalie, go somewhere like Florida and get your name on that list. Because how many beer league goalies are there in South Florida?
What about Vegas?
Vegas.
Vegas lose all three?
Phoenix, you know,
well,
I mean.
Vegas. Did they lose all three of their goalies at one point?
Vegas is a rotation of goalies there, yeah.
But still, you know, I mean, we've had Stalock in since Dubnyk went out there.
The next game
against Toronto, he came in and got his first shutout as the in his Wild sweater.
I think it was since like 2015 or something like that, since his last shutout.
Fair enough.
That was with the Sharks.
Yep, but that was his first one with the Wild, so that's exciting. So Stalock does. He comes in. Earns that shutout in the Wild uniform in place of Dubnyk out there. So what's your comfort level, you know, with Stalock now? I mean,
Without getting too much into the other games they haven't talked about, I feel pretty comfortable with him where he's at right now. I think he's holding his own. I think with the Calgary game and then even that Toronto game, I think we saw some very good presence in front of him where the team was blocking shots that they needed to, and they were getting out of the way to allow him to see the shots that he needed to to see.
I kind of have to agree with you there. I have it, you know, notably, you know, in the last several games, I've seen, like defensive players, you know, clearing out in front of the net, not just letting guys, you know, linger around there.
No, absolutely. And I think with pretty much any goalie, you got to have that to have a successful goalie.
Right.
And I think when that's been happening, I think Stalock is definitely NHL ready. I think he's as good of a goalie as you're going to get at an NHL level. He's made some amazing saves, and he's been bouncing around. And
I think part of the problem in assessing Stalock is that you're comparing him to Dubnyk, and they're two different goalies.
Two different types of goalies.
You know, Dubnyk's huge, long guy. Mm-hmm. Stalock's
six feet.
He's a tiny 6 foot, but for goalies, that's tiny
nowadays. Yep.
And so Stalock has to work harder to get the great saves. And so, unfairly, his saves when he makes a great save
look more spectacular.
Whereas it's a little more effortless for Dubnyk when that happens. That being said, I think the current day, you know, trend towards giant goalies, I think it's a little overstated. I think it discounts guys that are, for, you know, still tall in most most respects. You know, I think it undervalues those players and just grabs someone who's got giant limbs to block the net,
right,
and discounts the agility and flexibility of some guys that are a little smaller than ginormous, you know?
Right.
I think he's a very athletic goalie as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't mind going out and skating the puck a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know about his puck handling.
But that
goes for any goalie, though. You see almost any goalie, you know.
And what I do, what I like, what I have seen in Stalock so far is that a lot of, like, the little fluky goals don't seem to happen quite as often with him. Whether that's just, place and time, how the puck bounces, or...
But he's also going to be more nimble, though.
Yeah.
He's also
more nimble. He can adjust to the shots a little quicker, like when they're getting.
But I think the thing is you're going to get more by the nature that he's just not covering as much.
Well, he's also.
So it's going to look like a more natural goal and not a fluky goal. Whereas, with Dubnyk, it's going to look fluky because he doesn't move as fast. So it's like. With Dubnyk, you're going to get more fluky goals. With Stalock, you're going to get more goals against him that he looks like he just got beat.
A five hole is a five hole.
Well, and then that's what I was going to say is you get a shorter goalie that has a smaller inseam where the pads are actually a little tighter. So those fluky five hole goals aren't going to be as likely as when you have a taller goalie that has more of an open space.
Yeah.
Just saying. I think I heard Greenlay say that or something.
Oh, boy.
We've really now gone downhill here. Yep.
We're quoting Greenlay.
We better get on in our days. So, on in the days means that the Wild faced off against Edmonton. Notably in that game, Matt Dumba managed two tallies in that one. And then also... I'll just run right through it real quick. In Chicago, he also added another one there.
The only one.
The only one that the Wild scored there. So, but there was a shakeup kind of in that game of some of the forward lines for the Wild. I think the defensive pairings stayed pretty solid, but I know that Boudreaux they'd moved the lines around a little bit. I think we had Eriksson Ek up playing and. I think Stewart was on the side of Koivu, and
it's been crazy the amount of line juggling that we've seen.
Trying to find some sort of chemistry or something like that. Yeah.
Well, there's been chemistry, and he's still changes it up with some of these guys. And I don't get his philosophy. I don't get paid nearly as much as him, so I don't even want to.
Well, and we would still question that back in the Yo or Richards era, So this is a common thing where we're like, you have to hope that there's a reason they're juggling lines.
Yeah.
And that's about all you can really do.
Right.
Because there could be something that either we don't have the intel on, or it could be a chemistry issue, wanting to fight each other on the bench. Who knows?
Could have been what happened in practice earlier that morning, or, who knows? Also notably, though, making his return in that game was Jared Spurgeon.
What game was that?
Against Chicago there.
Oh, right.
Yep. So Spurgeon made his return there after being out for a couple weeks. They didn't have him rejoin Suter on that, though. Dumba did continue to play. And that said, Matt Dumba, he's had, a fairly decent week here. I mean, he went... +2 with 3 goals. I think in all the games he recorded 23 or more minutes. I think one game he had probably the overtime game, but he had like 30 plus minutes of ice time in that one. So, so a decent week for him. And he's been playing next to Suter this whole time, over the last couple weeks here or so. But, You know, our Suda and Dumber.
Suda and Dumber?
Suda and Dumber, yes. Words are hard. Or names are hard.
You're a big boy. You're a big boy words.
Are Suda and Dumber a good match, or is that just a... just a hot streak for Dumba?
You know, I don't know. I think Dumba playing along Suter, I still like that combination just with the fact of having the... Generally speaking, though, Suter made a dumb play against Chicago. I think it was the last Chicago goal, the empty netter that...
I wouldn't call that a dumb play.
I mean, it was a mistake.
We're not used to seeing... Suter is usually pretty rock steady. That's the thing.
He is.
We're not used to seeing that from him.
And yes, right. Everybody messes up at one point or another. And I'm sure he's kicking himself. And yes, he should be, but not too bad because they're already down 3-1 at that point.
Right.
But besides that play, having Dumba there, I think having Suter behind him is a good comfort blanket. Like, knowing that even if Suter does miss something, you've got a guy who's as solid as Suter to... If Dumba misses something,
yes.
You've got a guy like Suter that can kind of pick up most of that back end and recover.
It's almost like approaching your 5-on-5 like a power play, where you have a D-man that you know is willing to go a little deeper and one that's willing to retreat in the first sign of something's going to happen negatively.
Right. And honestly, I think with the way Dumba has scored in the past few games, I think he deserves to have some of those chances and shots because they've been working out for him. I mean, 3 goals in 2 games is not a bad thing.
Well, and to that point, though, I think, you know, having a balance between the defensive defenseman and an offensive defenseman is a good thing, especially when you're looking at your second and third D lines and you've got a lot of offensive defensemen. You need to spread them out a little bit, like, you know, butter that bread a bit and spread them out, you know. Yeah.
So. Kind of going off of what Jive asked, though, I mean, Spurgeon is an offensive defenseman as well, so I mean... Are we better off having Spurgeon up there?
Yeah, but I'd say Spurgeon's pretty. He's more like a two way.
Yeah,
because he's super solid defensively, whereas Dumba's I think a little more of a risk, if that makes sense.
A little bit, but he's also a little bit more of a plus, I think, in the offensive zone, right?
So yeah,
it's kind of where you. You know,
I'm pretty sure
your powers lie.
I've said this before, but I still kind of see him almost as a Burns type defenseman. And
so, should we put him up on the wing?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
but the fact that
you can make the similar argument with Riley. Can,
yeah,
actually,
I mean, but you know, Burns 2 years in, I wouldn't have said put him up at the wing at that point either. I mean, you know, Burns was 4 or 5 years in before Lemaire put him up on the wing. And I think that at that point is when we were losing wings left and right. And it was, we needed somebody. It's like, do we skate,
make a move Monday?
Do we skate 7D or do we put Burns up as a wing and skate 6D? Right. It was kind of where that started coming from.
Now you're onto something. See, we're going to start carrying. 3 sets of D men. You're gonna have a left D, a right D, and a center D, and then just 2 forwards.
No, who's taking the base?
Isn't that called a neutral zone trap? Basically,
hey, might have the answer there. If Boudreaux, if you win with that, you heard it here first.
So that Chicago game, though, I mean. I don't know about you guys, but the Wild just looked like they fell apart from the get-go on that game.
I don't know. I thought the first period was actually pretty solid from both teams. And, I mean, and at no point, I guess, did I feel that the Wild weren't trying. But I thought I felt that they were kind of almost outmatched, you know? I mean, but then again, I mean... The Wild, they played with them. They had shots. And the difference, I think, is that, you know, you've got what's his name over there? The guy in the commercials.
Therapy?
No.
Yeah. Therapy?
Therapy, is that his name?
Well, if you want to get the rapey.
Oh.
Kane?
Patrick Kane? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, Candy Kane. So there we go.
He's on the bottles of Gatorade.
Yeah.
They don't have dimes taped to them.
But yeah, that guy. But I mean, I'm not saying
that Gatorade is spiked, but you might want to watch when you drink that Gatorade.
So, okay.
I'm just going to say.
But he capitalized on the chances.
He always does, though, right?
He does.
I mean, he did have that one-on-one against Staylock.
That he capitalized.
I mean.
They left Staylock off the drive there.
I mean, although, then again, that could have also shown some of Staylock's prowess as a goaltender if he could have shut him down on that. I mean, you're looking at one-on-one with Patrick Kane.
Right, and I don't know many goalies that, you know.
We've seen many a goalie fail against that.
Right. You
know? Many a woman and taxi drivers fail against that.
It's a strong attack. It's tough to defend against.
Tough to defend. Doesn't want to pay for it.
And likely won't.
But I'm not gonna hold it against Staylock though. So
It's never the victim's fault.
Staylock kind of got raped on that, but it's allegedly.
Oh, that is okay. You took it. Of course, Kenny takes it too far.
Yeah,
kind of like Patrick Kane.
So, but yeah, the one thing that I would say for sure did hurt the Wild in that game, and it's kind of coming in, you know, over the past week or so here, is the penalties.
Yes.
There was lots of penalties yesterday. The games against Edmonton and Toronto, both, multiple, 5-6 penalties for the Wild. I mean, when you're talking about that, playing, about a quarter.
A fifth of the game in the box.
A fifth or a quarter of the game in the box, right. It's, you're definitely putting yourself at a disadvantage there.
And they don't even have the courtesy to have at least a three in the box so we can get a good screen cap.
Just do it all at once, would you?
Come on.
Right. Get it out of your system. But that, in that said, did the Wild, have they maybe just run into some refs who... Because I can say that, I've seen some calls that maybe could have went the other team's way where the other team could have been called, but they didn't get called for things. But I mean that happens every game too. So do you think that the Wild ran into some unfair refs?
We had a Dan on the ice yesterday,
right? Or are they But hey, then again though, are these penalties just a result of lazy play and checking with your stick and not your body? And
I would say most of the penalties they got called on were legit penalties. You can't argue that. What you can argue, though, is it fair both ways?
Right.
And I did see some stuff coming the other way that was not called, and whether the ref saw it or not, it sucks. But if you're going to do it, expect to get penalized for it and be grateful if you don't. And unfortunately, I think they're kind of looking at it the way of, they're not calling them, so I'm going to try it. And they're taking the short end of the stick on it, unfortunately. I mean, it was going both ways. I mean, we're playing against Chicago. We're chippy with Chicago both ways.
Right.
And you are seeing it both ways. And when you're only getting called one way, it does suck and it does hurt. But, I mean, with the refs that game and actually going back to Staylock, there was a point where Staylock had the puck covered for a good 3 or 4 seconds before the whistle blew.
Oh, yeah.
And, he got up and he was yelling at O'Halloran about it. Like, what? There is no way O'Halloran could have seen that puck, because if you watch the replay, it literally was underneath his glove for a good 3 seconds.
And then there's other plays where the puck is still freely out and about.
Beep!
And they blow the whistle, right.
Where's our whistle at?
Yeah. That one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think in my own personal opinion, I would consider it a combination, actually, of, refs, and I guess you said it well, you know, they're just not calling it both ways. Yes, the Wild were committing infractions there, but, you know, the other team seemed to get away with some of that play too, though. So,
but that happens. I know I'm the biggest, one of the most vocal people when the Wild are getting screwed.
Yeah.
You always got to for your team. I mean, right? You have to. And all you can do is hope that these games where, you know, the Wild are getting the short end of the stick, getting shafted.
Taking the lumber.
I gotta say that Zucker's, I can't remember who he gave the shot to. They called him for high sticking, but it was more of a cross check up there. But the other guy could have easily gotten an elbowing call.
There's a few that were a little bit embellished at the same time.
Yeah. But I mean, but Zucker, man, he went down like, oh, are you okay?
Well, you know, but the thing is, all this stuff is going to balance out over the season. Hopefully,
true, it will.
You know, I think if you're looking for it, you're going to see a few games. And I know I've already seen a couple this year where I go, Wild got away with that one. Wild got away with that one.
Me and you have watched some games where we're going, man, this seems pretty bad
and,
officiating.
And, you know, with if you ever looked at anything online with as far as like ref cams, you get a really good perspective about what they can see.
Yeah,
and they don't see a whole lot, actually.
No,
they
can't. It's quick. I mean, hindsight's 20/20 when we can slow it down to, you know, 3 frames per minute. But you know,
which I kind of disagree with some of the punishments and that have been doled out for suspensions because they're looking at it frame by frame.
Right.
Which I know we've talked about
before. We have, yeah, because it's ludicrous, you know. Yeah.
But Jive, you were saying?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I think it was the Calgary game that, Aaron, that you tweeted out that they should have a ref in the stands.
Yeah.
Was it that game that we were at that you said that, or was it a different one?
I don't know.
I thought it was last week.
I think I said it on the last episode is probably what I did.
Yes.
That makes total sense, like, which they should, because they should have an official that's kind of seeing this.
But then I swore I heard about. So, yes, I think you talked about it on the episode last week.
And then friend of the show, Uncanny Megan, also tweeted about.
Not Uncanny Megan anymore.
Oh, whatever.
Fan of it?
Sit on it? Like, happy days. Sit on it, you know? You know, am I the only one who knows Sit on It from Happy Days? Am I that old?
I remember watching Happy Days. I don't remember episodes.
Thursday, Friday.
Happy Days.
Sunday. Did I jump the shark?
I remember the Fonz, you know, like you hit something.
I even used Jump the Shark in the proper.
What? Isn't that from Happy Days?
Yeah.
Jumping the shark.
Where Fonz jumps the shark. Yeah, okay.
Anyways,
that's white people television. I was watching Good Times.
Oh boy. The thing is, I think it's similar to going back. No, I just lost my train of thought.
All you're gonna think is Good Times. I don't know any of the other words other than Good Times.
They do have officials watching, but I don't think they can actually make a call on the ice. I think there's only certain plays that they can give direction on, like if it's challenged or if it's like a definite play that needs to be.
Well, right, because they've got people out there recording shots and things like that. Sorry.
I thought you were almost going to go into shot.
That's what I was expecting.
You know? I was totally waiting for that one. Like the wind-up part with the shot.
No.
Nope.
Where's our reverb?
On that note, I think it's about time for a wild card.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right.
So we talked about Dubnyk getting hurt. It sounds like he's week to week right now.
Are they actually saying it's a knee injury or just a lower body?
No, I actually had heard it on, I think, KFan.
Okay.
Actually... Now that I think about it, I think it was Russo talking about it, and I read about it. Russo on The Athletic. It sounds like it's his knee. An injury that would normally keep a skater out 1 to 2 weeks, but with a goalie, from what he was saying and from what I thought I had heard, is they want to maybe rest it a little bit longer as a goalie because you're not...
Well, especially with you had the Christmas break, so you get a few extra days of little leeway. Yeah.
Stalock's not hurting us in there, so
no,
you don't have to rush him back for that.
Well, we have lost two in a row now, so...
Have those been...
No, we only lost one.
Oh, just one?
In a row. Yeah.
Okay.
But,
and was that, you know, completely all Stalock's
fault?
No, I... Yeah, that wouldn't say.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, it's Kane's fault.
Right now, Michalik is up from Iowa, backing up Stalock. Bo Pree must be back up in the press box.
They're working on...
Working the cranes.
Scissor lift somewhere.
Right. Working the cranes.
Scissor up?
Sipping on some scissor lift?
Sipping on some scissor lift? Oh, okay. Boy.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I think as Jive said...
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Spurgeon is back. Parisi is skating with the team, and he will be making this travel coming up.
East Coast?
Yeah, I guess it'd be East. Well, East Coast, heading north and then way south.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it sounds like he's feeling pretty dang good out there.
He just wanted a vacation in Florida.
Yeah, maybe that's what he wants right before Christmas.
Because you know what? It's going to be really cold this weekend. And you know where he's going to be? South Florida.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
It's going to be cold there.
He's a smart... No. It's going to be cold here.
Oh, it's going to be cold.
No. Does he want to stick around here?
Tampa Bay is 40
degrees when
north,
I got
right?
here tonight.
A little farther north.
I mean, relatively.
Is it
going to
be 7 degrees in Tampa Bay?
Probably not.
No.
You never know.
So...
No. I know it snowed in Houston not even a week ago or something.
It wasn't 7 degrees. I guarantee that.
No,
but they probably 30-ish. Drove worse than... Well, I don't know. Drivers up here, I don't think have acclimated yet. They've been bad.
That first storm was very icy, so you can't blame a lot.
You can never talk about the first storm.
Yeah,
where's our weather person? Like, I mean, I need the because don't we have some snow coming in the next few days?
We have.
You forgot your green screen. You were supposed to be pointing.
We totally need to do some chroma keying.
We need some green screen. While they're going from Ottawa up here down to Florida up to Tampa Bay,
wow. Kenny's weather minute.
Oh, yeah.
New segment.
Ooh.
We've got an Alberta Clipper coming in this way as the Wild move east.
No, I thought that's as Edmonton comes and plays the Wild. Right.
As Edmonton, as we got some Oilers moving down to the south.
Right,
Alberta Clipper.
And the conditions down in Colorado are ripe for an avalanche.
Oh, he's gonna rim shot himself. Oh, okay. That's just gross. That's just gross.
The thought with Parisi traveling with the team, not so much for vacation, but because they'll have enough they'll have enough downtime that he can actually continue practicing with the team.
Is there gonna be some lightning in Florida? Come on.
Oh, dad jokes.
Twice?
Dad jokes.
Twice?
The two times he talks in a row are dad jokes.
And they both get rim-shotted.
From himself.
From himself.
Hey.
He's his biggest fan.
Well, we all knew that.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
So
tell me more about Parisi.
So the thought was...
Florida.
I don't know.
The lightning.
Is it going to strike twice?
Thunder.
So maybe
it'll scare the Panthers off of you.
Okay, that one deserves a rim shot there. That one's a good one.
Alright.
It's a stretch, but I like it.
It was a stretch. Kinda like after Thanksgiving.
crickets.
Not a dad.
So tell me more about Parisi.
And the world thanks you, Kenny. I'm just kidding.
That was the best joke you've had all night.
Oh, man.
Oh, my eye, and the three of you guys, you put one thing, you actually.
So the thought was he's feeling well enough that they want to bring him along, or he wants to come along to skate with the team to continue help with the rehab and hopefully help
getting a tan.
Getting a tan and get back on the ice sooner.
Yeah. Golf course.
Yeah, you know, golfing. Until he like pulls it.
Well, that's okay. That's good to help out your back too. You gotta think, you know, getting that golf swing in there.
He probably won't play in Ottawa. He's just along for the ride. I'm telling you.
Well, maybe
he'll show up in Florida.
Yeah,
if he's smart.
Yeah.
So that's the Parisi situation. So we kind of went over what the Wild are up to. So this week, Tuesday in Ottawa, Friday in Florida, Saturday in Tampa Bay in Florida. Then it's their Christmas break.
Yep, our typical yearly. State mandated podcast can't work over Christmas break.
Yes.
Yeah, we're following
We are also
we're following
break.
The NHLPA rules here, right?
Yep. Thanks, Obama.
Yep.
So next Monday, you guys will not be hearing us live, which is kind of par for the course for this week.
That's our Christmas present to you. You don't have to listen to us.
Nice. So then the week after that, the last three games of 2017 for the Wild are next Wednesday here against Dallas. Friday, and this is where it gets interesting, we have a back-to-back home-and-home against Nashville. So Friday we play Nashville here. Saturday we play Nashville in Nashville on the 29th, 30th.
What a weekend.
So then we got the 31st, which is New Year's Eve, which is nothing. And then we're back on January 1st.
Hockey day.
Yeah.
We're back on January 1st for our 150th episode.
Yeah.
On Hockey Day, Minnesota?
No.
Hockey Day World.
Oh, that's the World Hockey Day. Oh, that's
that's the
Winter
Classic.
Winter Classic.
Hockey,
I'm getting them mixed up now.
Hockey outdoors is best, except when it's diluted, and then there's a whole bunch of outdoor games.
When is Hockey Day, Minnesota?
January 20th.
That's the 20th. Martin Luther King time?
The
day before Martin
Luther King. Sweet. No. The weekend before. Hockey Day's on Saturday. Martin Luther King's on Monday. Huh?
Not Martin Luther King Day. Hockey Day.
Day's on Saturday.
That's right, because the college plays in there. Don't mind me, anyways.
Jive's just right.
Yeah.
Ramblin' Man? Is that your theme song tonight?
Yes.
Ramblin' Man.
And dad jokes. Don't discount the dad jokes.
Lord, I gotta ramble.
Man.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. I'll admit that.
We got your questions now.
We got Twitter.
Here we go.
All right. First question is from @CreasonAssist. With pressure building on Calgary to build their club a new arena or else, Ottawa now gets into the game with owner Eugene Melnick's statement. Does the league really have financial issues or is this just posturing? So if you're not aware, Melnick basically suggested during the outdoor game or in the run-up to our outdoor game that the Senators may be a prime candidate for relocation. And
really? An original six team?
Well, no, it's their expansion.
Oh, no, they are expansion, aren't
92,
they?
92, 93, something like that. You know?
Sorry, I was thinking Montreal.
That's all good. So he's, maybe he was drunk. I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to extort the fans of Ottawa.
Drunk, I'm stupid, and I like cigarettes.
Well, this is the game that all sports teams play these days.
Oh, yeah.
Too, you know?
And hockey hasn't really had that push to build new stadiums that all the other sports really have.
Right. Well, Detroit.
Well, baseball and football, they've done that. Yes. But hockey, for the most part, hasn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at...
Even basketball really hasn't, if you think about it.
If you look at... You know? And actually, I was going to bring that up because both of those teams essentially play in 18,000-seat arenas. You've got the same oval, same enclosed
Yeah.
You're not going to have an outdoor hockey stadium year long. You're not going to have an outdoor basketball stadium year long. Baseball and football, you can have outdoors. Football will play in any weather. I think, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, Buffalo got like a foot of snow on the ground?
That game looked totally awesome.
I think the big differentiator, though,
it did look awesome.
The big differentiator, though, with both hockey and basketball is you play on courts that are uniform in size, almost uniform in their design as far as fan.
I think hockey actually has a little bit of variance as far as the length of the
rink. No.
It's standard.
It's standard.
No, standard size.
I thought there was
standard for the NHL.
Yeah. Oh.
It's if you're...
You're thinking world hockey and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right.
Might be a little more room behind the boards or behind the net.
I think it's the width. It's all width.
The width, I think, varies a little bit.
More girth in the...
it's got more girth.
In the international
Length is still the same, but you got some more girth.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff.
But it's pretty consistent, you know, what their layouts are. And... there's only so much amenities you can jam into the sides and the corners.
Well, football, I mean, you got a standard size field.
Yeah, but
American football.
But the demand for seating at football games is huge. So you can jam more seats, and then you can jam more amenities to cover up those seats.
And I can tell you right now that football, they do not have to have anything like uniform around that stadium.
Because
my OCD goes nuts every time I walk in the U.S. Bank because there is nothing symmetrical at that
they
stadium.
They could throw a theme park off of one corner.
Oh, yeah.
And no one would bat an eye at it. Yeah. And baseball has got a different thing going on because you got so many games. You're trying to attract families to sit there for 3 hours and watch a sport where most people will fall asleep. You know, and I love baseball. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of people don't like the pace.
And some games, it's
In baseball, every park is different,
right? Whereas hockey, basketball, your field of play is uniform, and
well,
there's only so much you can jam into those if you don't have regular at capacity crowds.
Yeah.
How do you tell a city like we need a bigger or better stadium
that looks the same?
That looks the same, and we can barely fill it night to night here as it is. You know, you have a tough time making that argument.
But that said,
especially when they can book the other, 300 nights a year for concerts and other events.
Disney on ice,
exactly.
Right.
SpongeBob on ice.
Pick an on ice event.
X-Men on ice.
Avengers on ice.
Yeah.
A-Team on
ice. Sesame Street Live.
Sesame Street Live.
Smurfs on ice.
Smurfs on ice.
That's going back a little back there.
I remember.
Smurfs came out again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Everything comes
But only back. Bashful Smurf. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
We lost our chat for all me, right. You, and Jive.
Just in case, Andy.
Just in case.
So, yeah. So,
I do agree that with that long-winded talk for that one question, that it is tougher to basically say
to
hey,
justify a
we want a better concrete enclosure that is almost identical to what we have right now.
That's true, but that then people can also request upgrades and things like that.
Well, and we just saw that with the Timberwolves here because they just completely upgraded and updated.
Yep.
Target Center, which, I mean, why couldn't they do that with a hockey arena at the same time?
But then also when you take a look at hockey, I mean, a lot of, the arenas, they even have, historical stuff. Like, when Detroit...
Well, it's a baseball does, too, and they
Wrigley.
Wrigley, they had no problems knocking down Tiger Stadium, which had been around forever.
Right.
Old Yankee Stadium, which had been around forever.
That's true.
Baseball... even though they have an unbelievable grip on past and clinging to legacy,
right,
they have no problem bulldozing that stadium and putting up a new one. Well, I mean, fans care, but teams don't.
Baseball seems very
they have a very selective memory as far as when it comes to nostalgia.
Baseball seems very cyclical as well, though. Whereas you look back when new stadiums were coming around in the '80s, everybody wanted to be indoors in a dome.
Yeah.
I guess maybe seven. It's more so
metropolitan areas wanted the multi-use stadium.
Right.
Because that way they could double dip.
Use it for, yeah.
For anything. You know, you could use it for football, baseball.
Monster truck.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I mean, you know.
And now baseball's coming back around, so they want that old park feel.
And football's like, well, we want our own stadiums then, too, because... Because
we play 8 games a year here in your town.
10. You got 2 preseason.
Oh. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Do they count as games?
Well, it counts for me getting a paycheck for it, so yes, see? It does.
You should get half a paycheck for those games.
I agree.
Shut your whore mouth, Lindgren. Shut your whore mouth.
They should
I hope my bosses are not listening to you.
They should take your vacation time away for that.
They wouldn't want to hear your nasty language, sir.
Oh, they've seen...
sir?
I'm pretty sure they've seen worse on text.
If I had a yellow flag, I'd throw it at you.
So, where are we at? Basically, baseball has their parts.
Roughing the punter.
They're trying to... God.
Ah, come on.
You got an empty bottle yet? I need something to throw. Baseball's getting their parks back. Football's getting their new stadiums. Like... Vikings got theirs 2 years ago. I think Atlanta just got a new stadium. There's another one. LA's getting a new stadium.
Yeah.
Hockey, basketball. I mean, again, though, I agree. It's 18,000, 19,000 people max. You're in a confined space. You've got a constrained play field. You know, revamp some stuff. And
I the only way you can make an argument is if you're not able to charge premium prices, and it's hard to make that argument when you're charging premium prices.
Exactly.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They just want better amenities so they can charge even more.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to move on.
Yep.
So from Crease and Assist, Hockey News is reporting there is a push among league GMs to institute a 1-minute penalty for faceoff violations and any minor penalty in overtime. Is this a good idea or not?
I like it. Why are all penalties considered equal?
So you got
all are obviously considered equal.
So you got a 2-minute minor, 4-minute double minor, a 5-minute major, 1-minute
minor,
misdemeanor.
So okay,
sub-minor.
Actually, Jive, I. So you have different levels of penalties. 2 minutes are you know against a player, you know, major and usually involves a player, but you're probably also mouthing off at that point, something like that.
You have a double minor.
You have which because blood is drawn.
Which is all. Don't even get me started.
So an infraction that does not hurt somebody else, make it a 1 minute. A bench penalty or a face-off violation that does not harm another player, I could see.
Well, you could make that argument for, I think, a few different... Too many men on the ice. Well, doesn't harm anyone.
But that's a bench infraction.
Delay of game.
Would be a 1 minute. So if it doesn't necessarily go against another player, why not make it a 1 minute penalty? You hurt another player, it's an infraction against another player.
What about an interference?
That'd be a 2 minute because you're interfering with a player directly. It'd be a physical to get an interference. You're actually infracting on another player. So.
And just as you're saying there, I don't care if it's a 5 minute overtime period or not. You know, if you go out there and trip somebody, that's a 2 minute penalty. It's a 2 minute penalty. It's a 2 minute penalty. Don't trip somebody.
What about unsportsmanlike?
2 minute penalty.
That usually goes well. That would be a 5. Yeah. That'd be a major, though. Usually,
no, not necessarily.
Niederreiter just got.
He did.
You could get that for talking,
but honestly,
and you're not actually hurting anyone by talking.
This is true.
Well, you might be.
You could hurt his feelings.
We need a violin sample.
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
You could hurt his feelings.
Yeah,
I don't know. If they're going to go that route, I think they need to actually look at like the non-physical penalties and maybe look at making them that way. Like you said, Aaron, like a delay game or a bench minor or, you know, something to that nature. But Jive, I also like your take on it, where you go into overtime, everything still stays the same, because that's that penalty is still that penalty.
Right.
So.
All right. Next question comes in from at EB Kelly. Three of the box. Is Stalock, the Minnesota Wild new starting primary goalie? He seems to be saving the Wild's bacon.
I think we kind of discussed that. I mean, I think as of right now, he's going to be the number one. I think once Dubnyk comes back, I mean, I guess we'll give it a few more games to see, because it's gonna. I think it's gonna be a minute before Dubnyk comes back. Let's see how Stalock does. It's not like we haven't seen this before with the Wild.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, you know, Dubnyk getting injured is hurting his starting goalie position at all either. I think that it's best that the Wild even play it safe. You know, even if, you know, Dubnyk doesn't come back onto the ice right away, I wouldn't say that all of a sudden Stalock's our new starting goalie.
The year that we got Dubnyk, how many goalies did we have injured that season before we picked up Dubnyk mid-January?
Backstrom.
Harding
hurt himself.
Briz. Was Briz involved in that whole mix?
I don't think Briz got hurt there.
We had a series of years where we had kind of a...
the revolving door of goalies. Yeah.
All right.
So, all right.
All right, next question from at Creason. It says, which Wild players would you give a gift to? What would it be? And which would you give a bag of coal? Which might be more useful than the players themselves.
I would give
I would give
the gift of a goal to Koivu right now.
Poor guy.
Oh, I guess
the gift of a goal or the gift of coal?
The gift of a goal with a G.
I would give a gift of a functioning back to Parisi.
I like that one. I would like to give, I would go for maybe Coyle. I think Coyle has been working hard, and I think he maybe deserves a little bit more. So maybe I might give him a move. Yeah.
As far as a bag of coal, that might be more useful than the players themselves. I mean, I don't see any of them not really trying.
No.
I just...
I think as a podcast, we've kind of evolved from just totally crapping
on people.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's one thing if they're overpaid.
Well, I mean, I guess we could do that with Koivu right now, because...
if this continues on the slump, you know, there's only so much, you know, well, he's a great guy in the locker room that you can go through before you start to get pissed at... You know,
somebody tweeted at Russo. I don't think it was this last game. I think it was the game before, saying Russo should not be allowed to have coffee until Koivu scores a goal. And Russo tweeted back, he's like, caffeine headaches are a real thing. Not going to happen.
Right. Yes, caffeine headaches are a real thing.
Well, speaking of Koivu.
So, Creason Assist asks, will Mikko Koivu score another goal before 2018 arrives? Is it just bad luck, or have the hands legs left him now? #Captain Clydesdale. Yes, he will. He will get his goal before 2018. I think he's just having
before 2018 arrives.
So he's got.
Ooh, that's
season. That's
he's got six games to do it.
Oh, that's,
Yes, he will get a goal in the next six games.
Do shootout goals count?
Not in fantasy, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't know that, you know.
I don't think he will. He'll get a shootout goal, though. Watch.
He's on a tough streak.
It's going to break. He's going to get his goal.
Or he's just out of juice, and this is his swan song.
All right.
All right, next question comes in from Emin Soda 24.
Teresa.
Three in the box. Recently on the radio, Boudreau said it's Fletcher that determines who plays in the game. How much do you think Bruce Boudreau hates that he has to play El Capitan as much as he does. And also, I guess to note here, we've got a follow-up question in two on this from T-Hohen88. T-Hain.
We need that T, like an auto-tune, like T-Hain bumper.
There we go. T-Hain. Holla. But he was also asking, you know, do you think that Bruce Boudreau has reached the point where he knows that he isn't calling the lineup shots?
I don't know how much I agree with that, because what GM is actually going to say, I want you to put this player with that player? I mean,
well, you could have GMs that are,
controlling. I mean,
I think you're more likely to get owners that are doing that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, who pay? But it's a series, you know, who pays your check? The GM pays your check. Yep. As a head coach, you're beholden to many. You got too many bosses, really. Yep.
I mean, you got the owner paying your salary. You got the GM giving you the players, and you should be the one making the lines.
And at the same point, though, you got players that are getting paid a lot,
maybe even more than you.
More than you.
You're managing people that are getting paid more than you.
Yeah,
and likely have more sway than you do. You know.
Yeah.
It's like the music business. Like, I'm pushing musicians around that make way more than me.
Sound guys are the real talent of the business. Oh, that's even a drum.
I was going to go with the studio side with producers.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be an asshole about it.
You're the one who brought it up.
I'll let you. You went to the live part. I was going with the studio side of things. All right.
All right. Next question now, also from T-Hain88. And he's got two questions regarding Parisi. You know, when he eventually gets back into the lineup, where do you see him getting slotted? Also, with his style and play, and now back surgery to his credit, how much more of his contract should Wild fans expect Parisi to play? Be able to play out?
Those are actually very good and very legit questions.
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Multiple.
We're on the same line there.
if you guys haven't heard it, there's a Freakonomics episode called "That's a Good Question."
Yeah.
The gist of it is that's what people say when they're trying to buy time to answer the question. Carry on, Kenny.
Well, now I got more time to think about it. So thank you, gentlemen.
This better be good.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to be slotted top slot right away. I think he's going to probably come in.
But he's not going to be a fourth line.
He's not going to be fourth line. I think he's going to probably come in maybe somewhere around second line, maybe even third for like the first game.
And well, that's the thing. Do the Wild even really have like a number one line?
Well, right. Do we even know who's going to be on the first, second, or third line? I mean, everything's getting jumbled around all the time.
It's also about who happens to be hot at the time.
Yep.
You know,
matchups.
That's where it's like, you know, the concept of a number one line, it really doesn't make a big of a difference.
Right.
At least the way the Wild have been forming their team over the last few years. Fourth line, that's definitely different than first line.
Yeah.
But first two, maybe three?
The three, yeah. Like, I sometimes mean, on down to the third line, there's not a lot of...
The fourth line is usually fairly definite. Usually, you're kind of grind your lines. And the guys that you put out for a PK to rest some of your other guys, so after it's over, you can get some fresh legs out there.
It's mainly special teams guys or face punchers, but we don't really have a face puncher, so...
But
as far as the back surgery, though, I'm not seeing this as a Joe Mauer song here. I think that, you know, people want to, you know, they'll like to compare it to something like that where, you know, Joe Mauer has had his problems. He had to, you know, move away from, you know, the position that he was originally
catching's a tough position to begin with.
But so is being a grinder, too, in front of the net. I don't know. The grit that I have seen out of Parisi when he does play out there, I think, you know, I don't think that we're going to lose that out of him.
Okay, bold idea. Mm-hmm. We moved Mauer from catcher to first base. How about we move Parisi from a forward to a defenseman?
No.
Don't do it.
Nope.
Switch. We're already paying him. We're gonna. And his best buddy's playing on D as well.
Right. Oh, we'll put Parise.
Dumba up.
Down. And Parise back. Why not?
Hey, makes total sense.
Yeah.
Or we just go with my three defense, two forward.
Who's center?
For the defense.
Yeah. Who's your center D?
That would be Parise.
Parise your center D.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's your 3D.
All right.
Next one
from Jay Bushy 19. Oh, there we go. Jim Fletcher in the last year of his contract. Does Leopold part ways with Fletcher or offer him a new contract? In my honest opinion, Fletcher has done well, but it may be time to bring in a new GM. That's from Jay Bushy 19.
I think Fletcher is a mixed bag. He's had some good moves. He's had some terrible moves. I feel his moves later on have been reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like there's been a ton of moves where I'm like, wow, that's a bad move. It's more so, but really he's been mitigating his past bad moves, you know, getting rid of Pominville, you know, and taking care of that. You know, Vanek hasn't really done a whole lot since he's left, so
He started off strong, but
he also
did that with the Wild too.
He did, yeah. So, you know, I guess I'm not hating on Fletcher. I think he's got plenty of warts. If Leopold were to make a move, I'd understand it. But you know,
and yeah, I guess. Yeah, I feel similarly, but I would say, though, that, you know, I don't think that new blood in there wouldn't be beneficial.
No,
but it would be change for change's sake.
It would honestly be.
To take a line from LaPanta, he's kind of handcuffed the team with some of his contracts.
Oh, he totally has.
So, I mean, whether it's Fletcher in there, you could get new blood in, but the new blood's still going to be stuck with some of these contracts that have to go on for the next... How many years at how many millions of dollars?
But his own owner has handcuffed him with that because his owner was also on the side of the owners in wanting a salary cap.
This is true.
You know, so it was those pair of contracts that, at least in their stance, is what made the cap a thing. So,
I'm going to say this. If the Wild make it past the first round, I think Fletcher still has a job. After that, you know, ask me postseason, ask me towards the end of the season where we kind of know where the Wild are sitting, and I'll have a better answer.
It all comes out of the postseason. If the Wild
it's too early in the season to even try to think about that right now. So,
all right. Next question comes in from T-Hane88. Why do you suppose guys like Zucker and Nino are not far and away the leaders in ice time among the forwards?
Well, I think we kind of discussed that. Look at the line juggling and who's out there at what time.
Right. Yeah. But I think that Zucker actually, like, this year's ice time is definitely
I think so.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah.
I don't have the numbers sitting in front of me, but it does seem like that both of those guys are getting more ice time than they have in the past.
Yes.
Quality ice time too. Not just ice time for ice time.
Right.
All right. Next question from T-Hane88. Do you suppose it bothers anyone in the Minnesota Wild hierarchy that Halla has 12 goals already and is on pace for 30?
No.
I think yes. What are we going to do?
Well,
it's another mistake by Fletcher.
Is it, or is it just?
Is it? I mean, we
fact
get...
that Hall is now playing with some other guys that he clicks with better.
Or it could be that you misjudged the talent you had, because it's not like Took hasn't been part of.
This is true.
Or not Took.
I mean, I think we. Yeah. I Took, can. Okay. Can I say that we've all been fans of Hall since he got pulled up to the Wild?
Yeah.
From the Gopher day.
But the question was going to be whether it's Hall. Or Halla and Took.
Or Dumba.
Or Dumba. And we chose Dumba.
You chose wrong. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's still...
Time... It's still early.
Yeah. Only time will tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So last one from MN Frosty Boy, Mr. Chris Frost. A pair of questions. We're kind of lumping them into one here. What is the most critical make-or-break five-game stretch for the Wild and for both Minnesota Wild and the rest of the league? Most valuable player, least valuable player, breakout star, and dump contract.
Holy. This could be a whole episode, let's be honest here.
Okay.
Chris, we will take you out for a beer, and we will discuss all of this happily.
We'll chat about that.
We'll give him one teaser, though. MVP for the team.
Right now, I'm going to go with Staal.
That's hard to argue that one. I mean, Staal has been dang consistent this year. But as far as the MVP goes, though, I'm going to have to go with Zucker, actually, to this point.
And I'm going to, I mean, I think both of those are great choices. I'm going to go Staalock because without him there, who would we have
coming up as the backup?
That's
and he's been solid since he's been playing.
Every time he's been called on, he's been pretty damn solid. Yeah. So
right on.
Yeah. So there you have it. Twitter talk. Frosty, hit us up. We'll give you the rest of those answers.
We'll ask
us again, and we'll have another episode at some point.
And we'll answer one more of those.
We might have to do a three-in-the-box round table with, you know, friends of the show to come out. We'll hang out at a bar and discuss all of this stuff with you guys.
Completely. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
At NostraKenius on Twitter and Instagram.
And Jive.
You guys can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn. Thanks everyone for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Three in the Box. I think we're on Instagram at Three in the Box. You can go to iTunes, the Apple store thing.
Stuff. All that good stuff.
All those little podcast places and go get our stuff. Go to threeinthebox.com, download it, get it. That's it. Thank you, folks.